Welcome to the Wall Street News Network podcast. I'm pleased to be talking to Josh Tolley. Josh is the founder and chairman of Tolley & Company, an organization that buys, builds, operates, and sells companies in multiple industries, including finance, spirits, birthing centers, professional sports, and many others. Josh has built a multiple multi-million dollar companies over his career and has helped many other people do the same. He's appeared on national and international television, been featured in two documentaries, has conducted over 1,000 interviews, over 2,000 radio broadcasts, and is regarded by many as the global voice on business. His book was recently released with the title Acquisitional Wealth, The Fastest, Most Proven Way to Create Life-Changing Prosperity. So why don't we start with my first question. Why do you think that owning a business is the best way of investing your money?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it comes down to track record and control. When you're an employee, you have the least amount of security. Decisions outside of your control can upset the apple cart, and before you know it, you're back at square one and outside the camp, so to speak. But when you own a business, unlike even passive investments such as, you know, index funds, real estate, Bitcoin, when you own an investment and that is a profit-producing business, your decisions and your actions can largely determine your outcome. Mm-hmm. You'll always be subject to economic, you know, ebbs and flows, but the ability to have control in your hands produces the best results over time.
Yeah. Well, how did you ever get started in the business of owning businesses? Maybe we should start initially with your first business.
Yeah, I was 12 years old when I started my first business. I started my first adult business 3 days after graduating from high school, and I've never looked back. I owned two or three businesses by the time I was in my early 20s. A couple of them failed, which were great stepping stones to success later. I wish I would have learned that lesson sooner. But over the years, I've owned a couple dozen of them. And then about the late 90s, I started helping other people do the same thing. I was a little disappointed by what was being taught in most business schools across the country. And I just started developing systems of business growth, marketing, branding, advertising, that really kind of put results on the table as opposed to just become the product to sell itself. Mm-hmm. There's far too many people who are trying to sell the sizzle as opposed to butcher the cow. And I found that by helping people butcher the cow, you put a lot more success in people's hands and that becomes more profitable over the years.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in knowing what was the business that you started when you were 12 years old.
It was a tiny gambling operation, which in retrospect probably wasn't the best or most moral business to start, but it was profitable. I mean, there were weeks where I was making more than my teacher.
Wow.
And that really kind of, you know, threw them for a loop. Especially, I wasn't really a good student, so I would have poor reading ability graduating high school. I read at a 7-year-old, 8-year-old level. Mm-hmm. I taught myself how to read in after graduation, actually. Uh-huh. I was so shy, I couldn't order a hamburger from McDonald's until I was 19 years old. Wow. But that ability to generate revenue through offering a product or service people wanted is just so, I guess, born into children, mm-hmm. that the lack of ability and scholarly accolades in school actually didn't stifle what is naturally in all children all over the world.
Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned you had three companies after you graduated, uh-huh. and
yep.
Two of them didn't succeed. Did you learn a lot from the one that succeeded or the ones that failed or both?
Gosh, yeah. No. Failure is so profitable, it's not even funny. That's one of the biggest mistakes I think a lot of first-time, second-time entrepreneurs make, is they view failure as somehow a loss, when in reality, I've made way more money from my failures than I have my successes, because you carry whatever lesson you learned forward into that next venture. And if you compare even my first failure as a business, I was probably out $7,000-$8,000, right? And I mean, nothing really big. I was a 17-year-old kid when I graduated. But that education from that $7,000 to $8,000 loss produced way more long-term profit than an $80,000 degree would have, or an $80,000 degree would have. Uh-huh. So the profitability of failure is so overlooked, especially in a tech-driven social media age where everybody only presents their successes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these days, what do you think is the best industry right now, or industries to own a business in?
Yeah, anything that I would call recession resistant. So I love infrastructure, asphalt, cement, rebar. I love waste management sort of, disposal. Not even necessarily trash on the curb, but there's medical waste, food waste. Those are always good. Transportation can be great if you somehow have a handle on the HR problem that's typically associated with transportation. Uh-huh. And then I would avoid anything that has a cash register.
Oh, yeah. That kind of led to my next question, which is, what do you think are the worst industries to put your money into?
Retail and food. Retail and food by far. And unfortunately, for most people, if they haven't kind of developed that basic business skill set, those are also the two industries that most people leap into, because those are the two that they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So you take somebody who's been an employee for 20, 30 years of their life, they're probably not going to set up a B2B, engineering firm. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to get involved in retail or food.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering, a lot of people want to start their own business, as opposed to buying a business. Yeah. Can you kind of discuss the advantages versus disadvantages of starting your own from scratch versus buying one?
There's really not much advantage to starting one, to be honest. I've started businesses, I've purchased businesses, and there's really not that much of an advantage to starting one. When you buy a business, it's usually cheaper. If you look at what most people will spend on an average startup, depending on the industry and if we're talking about venture-backed or not, you're still talking somewhere between $60,000 and $200,000. Hmm. Well, you can buy a profitable business for that amount of down payment, and that business is going to produce revenue the day you buy it. Literally the day you sign the paper, revenue is going to be coming in. Hmm. And in a lot of cases, it comes with certain like work in progress capital, working capital. Uh-huh. So your down payment can be nothing, net nothing at the end of the day. So that's always an advantage. Mm-hmm. It also gives you kind of that 20, 10, 5, whatever it happens to be, years of growth and effort that the person who did start the business put in, that you don't have to then reinvent the wheel. You have a customer base, you have employees, you have your systems and processes already developed. And even if you had a wonderful invention or a new product to bring to market, you then have the industry infrastructure and customer base to introduce that new product. So even if you invented something, it's still smarter to buy a business.
Yeah, that's a good point. In your book, you did mention that you can actually use your IRA funds to invest in your own business, or to invest in a business. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. This is really unique. And of course, seek the advice of a licensed professional and all that. But the idea is, it's called a ROBS. It's rollover for business startup purposes. And you can use your 401k, self-directed IRAs, that sort of qualified product, as the down payment financing for your acquisition without taking a tax hit or early withdrawal penalties. Huh. So what that does for a lot of people is it allows them to take their 401k balance and turn that into their new yearly income with money that they've already set aside anyway. Huh. And when you compare that to the idea of, let's say somebody has 400 grand and maybe they retire with 1.5, Well, your income off of $1.5 million in retirement on a 8% drawdown against inflation is not going to be anywhere near the $200,000, $400,000, $800,000 a year you would have been making if you would have purchased a successful, already profitable company.
Has this been around for a while? I think a lot of people aren't even aware of this option.
Yeah, it has been around a while, but the reason they're not aware of it is because most of your financial planners don't want you to do it. It's kind of, taking money out of the basket.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be something that, you're going to walk into your FINRA-approved financial planner and they're going to pitch you on for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe this kind of leads into another question is, what about the risks of buying a business?
Yeah, compared to other things, they're really, really low. I mean, obviously, there's risk in everything and nothing's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But when you look at other sort of investments, Bigger Pockets, which is a real estate blog, had an article pointing out that 95% of real estate investors will lose money. Mm-hmm. We already know the terrible, terrible track record of employment. It's somewhere around 98% of employees on their 65th birthday are going to be dead or broke. We know that mutual funds, according to Fast Money, have a 4% chance of actually producing the revenue that you're going to need in retirement, which is half of what hitting a 20 in blackjack will produce. So that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But when you look at buying a profitable existing, $1 million in revenue, 5 years or older, five employees or more sort of company, the failure rate on those are in the single digits. So when you compare that to other sort of options, it becomes really clear if you want financial security, there's an availability to most people that they're unaware of.
Huh. Okay. Do you have any specific advice to someone who is tired of their salaried job and want to, buy their own business? What are the first steps that they would go through?
I would talk to a qualified broker. Each state is different with how they regulate and license and that sort of stuff. But talk to a qualified broker. Don't think this is something you can do on your own, regardless of how many Insta experts are popping up on your social media feed telling you you can. That is by far not true, and it's extremely dangerous. Once you find a quality broker, though, I think the biggest problem I've seen over the years is people not willing to fully commit to the process. It's kind of like if you've ever seen kids at a lake or a river who swing on the rope hanging from the tree, mm-hmm. The only kids who get hurt are the ones who are afraid to get hurt. And because of that, they don't let go and they slam back into the rocks. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy a business, do it. Don't kind of dip a toe in and say, well, if it works, Mildred, nope, do it. That has become the most successful mode of doing it. Doing it part-time or on your own or no money down or any of that sort of stuff. That's for later. But you want to do your first 2, 3, 4 deals with a properly structured team and wholeheartedly committed.
Mm-hmm. So basically that kind of describes the worst mistake they could make is not being fully committed. And then on the other side, they should be trying to get a handle on, what do they need to do mentally and emotionally in order to go full speed ahead into it. Just plan on the fact that they are going to go ahead, go with a good broker and anything else.
Yeah, I would say don't think you have to know everything. It's really interesting. If you're going to start a business, you need to be way more knowledgeable as an entrepreneur than if you were to buy one. If you start a business, you're going to wear all the hats. You're wearing the HR hat. You're wearing the PR hat. You're wearing marketing, sales, advertising, production, HR. Everything is you. Mm-hmm. But if you buy an existing companies with employees, those employees know how to run the business. They've been there for years ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go into that thinking, oh man, I need to know everything day one. And when you let that go, it makes the entire process a lot more enjoyable and the transition for you as the new owner a lot more profitable.
Mm-hmm. And in what you mentioned employees, and I know a lot of people that want to buy their own business, and maybe they've had a salary job, maybe they haven't had many people or any people working under them. Is dealing with employees a difficult thing, or is that? I think that's one fear that some potential buyers have is dealing with employees. Do I have to lay off people? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is, to be honest. Dealing with employees is always going to be hard. It's always been hard. I mean, you can read Marcus Aurelius, and he complains about his workforce. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for the last several thousand years, dealing with employees is hard. But until AI gets better or we have better robotics, it's just part of life. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely worth the headache. I would say that, yep, uh-huh. Employees are going to cause headaches. But it's definitely worth the headache. I would rather have employees have a solid, profitable income every month as opposed to be working some $200,000, $300,000 a year job and really not sure if I'm going to have it Monday morning when I go into the office.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Okay. Well, why did you decide to write the book?
To be honest, I was sick and tired of all the idiots out there trying to sell courses or membership programs or online digital products, talking about buying and selling companies. There's a ton of them popping up, and it was just irritating me how bad the advice is, first of all. Uh-huh. And then second, how these experts, using air quotes, they don't have any skin in the game for you. They can say, oh, well, I just taught somebody how to do it, and I can't be responsible for the results. So I figured, since I've been doing this for forever and a day, and I have a brokerage where I legally take responsibility for my clients, I would write a book from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And say, look, there's no course at the end of this. There's nothing to join, when you get to the end of my book. It's literally just, how does this work? Why does it work? And what do I need to know in order to make it work for me as the reader?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really great information. And I think, as I mentioned in my review of the book, it's one of the few nonfiction books that I read cover to cover. So
I appreciate that.
I really enjoyed it. And do you have any last minute comments or words or suggestions to people that want to buy their first business?
Yeah, I would say get started. Get started now, because every day you waste, you're costing yourself a ton of money. So don't be afraid of the process. It's been around for thousands of years and has worked for literally millions of people, and it can work for them too. So just begin down that road, and you'll be pleasantly surprised as to where you end up.
Great. Well, thanks, Josh, for your time and all the great information you provided. And as a reminder, the book is called Acquisitional Wealth, The Fastest, Most Proven Way to Create Life-Changing Prosperity.